last address to the nation. And he's challenging them, you have a choice. You don't have multiple options. You have two options. It's not like a multiple choice test where you've got four options you can choose from. He says there's two choices. You either serve God or you serve the other gods. And he's challenging them, you need to make a choice. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And as we wrap up the book of Joshua this morning, the long study that it's been, and we've looked at the life of Joshua and as he's led the children of Israel into the promised land, and as they've conquered and God brought victory and God allowed defeat so that they could have the sin in the camp removed and the revival in their hearts. As God continued to bring them through and conquering the land and divided up the land and the many lessons that we've learned from the book of Joshua. My last challenge to you today is choose you this day whom ye will serve. Keturah said it great as Evangelist Young challenged us yesterday. You may have grown up in church and you may be in church all your life, but are you growing spiritually? And today, as we evaluate our lives and as we look at this last chapter in Joshua, we need to ask ourselves, who am I serving? Am I really serving God? Or am I just saying I'm serving God? Joshua says it's more than speech, but it affects the very way we live every day. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Father, we thank you for your love. We ask that as we get into your word that you would speak to our hearts. God, this service has been great as we've gotten to sing worship songs to you. As we've been able to worship and praise as you've done great things in hearts through the ladies retreat and the teen harvest fest yesterday and the fun times that were had at both. But God, as we listen to you speak to us this morning, we ask that you would make a difference. That you would help us to make that choice, not just once, but every day. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Would you work in our hearts? Would you bring revival to our church? Would you draw us to you? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua reminds them and challenges them, you need to remember certain things if you're going to choose to serve the Lord. Joshua 24 verses 1 and 2, he draws the people together and he calls them all together to present themselves before God. So note at the end of verse 1 it says they presented themselves before God. They were very understanding that the God of creation was not just out there somewhere, but he was their personal God. Evangelist Young illustrated that yesterday, that God's not just some God out there that most of us who are here this morning know. We believe God. We believe in God. But he's not just out there. He's right here desiring to have a friendship, a relationship with us. And here the children of Israel presented themselves before God. Verse 2, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. And they served other what? Gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. So what Joshua is doing, and as God is speaking to the children of Israel, he's reminding them of their history. Some of you teenagers may not enjoy your history class at school, but history is helpful. We don't have to repeat the mistakes of history. And here the children of Israel are being challenged. God has done so many things. He's changed your life. He's changed your heritage, who you are. Don't forget these things. But as he's doing that, Joshua challenges them, number one, to remember the works of the Lord. Remember the works of the Lord. If you and I are going to choose to serve the Lord today, we must remember the works of the Lord. In years gone by, I mean, we could talk about the time span of this time all the way back to Abraham. He's saying here on the other side of the flood. This is years ago. Looking at chronology. Time way before these people were alive. Wasn't just recent history. Joshua was reminding them the works of the Lord back then. And as you and I look at the Word of God, we're reminded of the works of the Lord, that God did awesome and incredible things in the Bible times. But He wants to do awesome and incredible things today too. And He still does. If I am going to choose today to serve the Lord, I must remember the works of the Lord. I must remember the works of the Lord, that God's works are actively present in my life. And He's reminding them of really of these truths because He's challenging them to come stand before the Lord in verse 1 that we looked at right now. And then He goes back to this history. But He says, God is actively at work in your life. Come stand before Him. He said, acknowledge that it's God who does that work. And He's pointing this out then by taking them back into history and saying, look at what God has done. I believe it's the Psalms, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. In fact, that's turned into a song. Some of you may be familiar with that. He cannot fail. His word is true. We're trusting Him. He'll see us through. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. If I'm going to choose you this day to serve the Lord, I need to remember the works of the Lord. Because life gets tough. The children of Israel experienced that through battle after battle, through years of waiting for their land. And yet, as God's promises were true, there was still work to be done. And as they were going to have to continue clearing the land of the people God promised He would remove from the land, they needed to remember that it was God who did it. Remember the works of the Lord, that God is actively working in your life. But that God's works aren't hindered by other people. Again, verse 4. I gave Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into where? Egypt. Were there people who attempted to hinder the work of God in Egypt? Yeah. It goes on, I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward, I brought you out. I didn't forget. I was here. God's works can't be hindered by other people. Now, it may throw some kinks in our life and the plans that we think that God has. And, whoa, that didn't go the way I hoped or planned. Or because life doesn't always go the way we hope or plan. But God knows. But in spite of other people doing their things, God is still at work. We think of the great Holocaust of World War II. God knew what was going on. God wasn't absent. But He was still working, and in spite of all the people who were doing wicked, wicked things, He was still working. But we think about the great Holocaust back in Egypt, with killing all of those baby boys, Moses being hid in a basket. God sent Moses and worked through that time. That God was actively working in all of those situations, and that people couldn't hinder the work of God. Aren't you thankful that I can't get in the way of God working? Now, I can sure get in the way of God working through me. And man, I can be a distraction in other people's lives and be a stumbling stone, as we're warned not to be. But we can't get in the way of God working, and I'm thankful for that. And if I'm going to choose to serve the Lord tomorrow, I need to remember the works of the Lord tomorrow. God can do it. God is all-powerful. I believe it was Evangelist Young challenged us yesterday. As he was, and one of the things he mentioned in passing is to these teens, and we know that suicide is a big battle today, but he mentioned in passing, he said, put away those suicidal thoughts and turn to God. God actively works. And life sometimes seems hopeless, but people can't hinder God's work. Life may be tough, but God still can work in my life. And He proved this time and again through the nation of Israel as they walked with God. Choose to remember the works of the Lord. that God is actively working today as he was actively working throughout history in every one of those time periods. Choose to remember that God's works aren't hindered by other people that don't want to please God, like these Egyptians, like others around us that we need to stand up to at times with temptations that come. But choose to remember that God's works are more powerful than anything you can do. They're more powerful than anything they could do. The children of Israel came in and they conquered this land. But it wasn't them. God's reminding them, I did it. I'm God. Verse number 7. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them. Here we see God was more powerful than the Egyptians as they were trying to chase after them. That he brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand. God says, I've done this. I gave them into your land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, and he continues on through some of these other situations and things going on. Verse number 11. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho and the men of Jericho. So he's reminding them, again, God was more powerful and nobody could stop him in his work. And that God's work are more powerful than anything they could do in getting out of Egypt. But here, in their own lifetime, more powerful than getting into this promised land. At the end of verse 11, he says, I delivered them into your hand. Verse 12, what is one of the tools, if you will, that God used to free them and to conquer this land? Little insects. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. By the way, did they build cities in Egypt? They worked hard in Egypt, didn't they? It wasn't that exact generation, but generations later, God blessed that work even. Incredible to see through some of this. But God said in verse 13, I have given you this city and this land that you didn't labor for these. Of the vineyards and of the olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Remember the works of the Lord. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. It strengthens us and encourages us to keep on keeping on. To choose you this day whom ye will serve. Not simply on Sunday when we're all together, because man, it is easy to choose to serve God at church, isn't it? Man, we are tender at Harvest Fest, and man, what a place to make decisions and let God speak to your heart, and the ladies retreat, and man camp. I mean, man, these people, most of them come, a lot of them come anyway, with a desire, what? For God to work. And so, man, it's just so easy to choose to serve God. But then Monday comes. And as the ladies were challenged to have a plan, the teens were challenged yesterday. I believe it was Brother Jason Lewis was sharing his own testimony, how he has multiple Bibles in his office of his throughout his life. Different Bibles that he used at different times that he keeps because he looks back and he wrote in the back of his Bible the decision God had challenged him to make. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. It's a daily choice. It's a choice we must continue to make. I mean, how many of you can look back at a time in your life and say, well, I surrendered all. The song we sing, I surrender all to Jesus, all to him I freely give. Man, I look back and, man, I'm thankful for that time. And if it was only one time, that's a problem because I often get back on the throne of my heart and I take God off of it. It's a daily choice I must make who I will serve. And Joshua knew that with this generation. Because as we continue and we read through the end of this chapter and we read into Judges chapter 1 and especially chapter 2, the children of Israel served God until that generation was gone. And then they didn't serve God. They turned to all these other gods, these false religions as you teens are studying right now. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. It's a conscious choice I must make tomorrow. But it's easier not to make it because we get up and we go on and when we know the things we have to do in life. Choose you this day whom you serve. Remember the works of the Lord. But Joshua's reminding them, God has done great things. But he says, remember the call to action. You remember these things. You know the truth. But it's not enough to know the truth. It's to grow in that truth. Remember the call to action. Verse 14. Now therefore, he says, you've remembered all these things. And because of all these works of the Lord, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in what? Sincerity and in truth. Jesus said something kind of like that to the woman at the well, didn't he? They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not some form of religion that we have. Choosing to serve God doesn't mean I went to church and so that meant I'm serving God. It's a daily call to action that I need to remember. Remember that call to action. To choose to walk with the Lord. Remember, he called them out in verse number 1. At the end of verse 1, they presented themselves before God. In Joshua 1 verse 8, he challenged them to not let the word of God depart from their mouth, but to meditate therein day and night. That personal relationship that we can have with God. That friendship that we can have with God. There's that call to action. What am I going to do with what I've been presented the truth? I have a choice. I can go one way or I can go the other. It's not even 5 different choices. It's either God or it's not God. And here these Joshua's challenging them. Remember, choose to walk. Choose to serve him in sincerity and in truth. He says, fear the Lord. Not be afraid of him, but the fear of disobeying him. The fear of walking away from him. The awesome reverence of who God is. Not just some God far out there, as we sometimes think, but as he is out there. He is awesome. He is holy. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. We can't comprehend God. He is awesome. And because of that, I need to fear him. But God doesn't want us just to fear him. Oh, I don't want to do what he doesn't want me to do. I better not do that because he's waiting with the billy club. No, he's not. But he does remind them there are consequences for sin. Why do we discipline our children? Let me tell you, it's not easy. You remember that, parents? You've already raised your kids. Man, discipline is one of the toughest things of parenthood, I think. Consistency. I mean, there's tons of tough things. But I'm thankful we can do this in God's strength. But we teach our kids through discipline that God holds us accountable for our behavior. That our local government holds us accountable for our behavior, at least certain ones. And so the reality is, Joshua says, fear the Lord. Know his works. Know what he expects. Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel what God expected. And they made their choice. We have choices to make. Am I going to serve God today? Or am I going to serve these false gods? Am I going to serve my own self and my own way? Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose to walk with the Lord by fearing him, by serving the Lord. He says, they that serve him in sincerity and in truth. Not just some formal action, but as we go to church, it's in sincerity, doing it his way. Not just to fulfill some duty or checklist, but it's all of me. Doing it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. He says, serve him sincerely. Oh, I guess I better participate in that fall family festival because that's what I'm expected to do. Or I better teach in this or I better serve. Wait a second. If you even come to church for me, don't come. And I want to say that very cautiously because, man, I want you at church. But if it's for me, that's not sincerely. Man, I get excited when I see you at church. And man, I'm looking out and missing people already today that aren't here. And yet, why do we come to church? Why must I come to church? It must not be because you expect to hear something from God's Word in the morning, so I got to be here. It's got to be serving Him in sincerity and in truth. And Joshua says, if you're going to choose to serve God today, you must remember this call to action. You must remember to walk personally with God. You must remove distractions. Because look what he says. After he says, serve him in sincerity and truth, he goes on and says, and put away. There are certain things we need to put away. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. There's a distinction. Put them away. There are certain things we need to put away. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 12 to lay aside the sin and every weight. Some things that aren't necessarily sin, but they distract me from my walk with God. Well, I need to put some things aside. Make that plan to do that. You know, isn't it easy? I was thinking this yesterday. Isn't it easy as we make a decision, when God speaks to our heart, it seems so easy right then to keep that commitment. Doesn't it? Man, this is exciting. This is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to live. And then we get an hour away from that time period. It's like, man, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe that's not really what God wanted me to do. Joshua says, serve him and put away distractions. As he challenged the teens yesterday, there may be some friends you need to stand against that won't be your friends anymore. There may need to be some other things in your life you just need to stand against and say no. In fact, he challenged the teens. I thought this was kind of funny, and I think a lot of the teens did. They chuckled. He said, and if you need to get a dumb phone instead of your smart... And there goes my flashlight. There we go. If you need to get a dumb phone instead of a smartphone so that it's not distracting you from your walk with God, do it. Do what's drastic. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And that's not right now, and it is. But it's got to be tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, so that when we come back together next week and the Lord has another message from us, and by the way, there's other service times than just Sunday morning, but as we come back next Sunday morning and we listen to God speaking to us, that it doesn't have to be the same thing that God has to convict in our heart again because we didn't choose you this day and we will serve. Put away those distractions. Remember this call to action to walk with the Lord. The false religions, they had to put them away. And there are many in our culture today. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking of the many false doctrines that have affected and infected our lives. Because we just become desensitized to sin, and maybe we don't think that's bad, but it just becomes more natural. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's what they are. But standing up for life, as we think of with our birth centers that we're participating with this month. Because it's right. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Remembering the works of the Lord, all that he's done. Remembering the call to action. To choose to walk with the Lord, to choose to make a difference in my life and in the generations to come as he challenges them. And then remember your decision. Verse number 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But here's Joshua's, it almost seemed like his purpose statement for his family. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that wasn't just a Sabbath day thing. It wasn't just when they went to Shechem. It had to affect every day, or the next generation is going to turn away from God. And sadly, we see that in the nation of Israel. I don't want my kids to turn away from God someday. And granted, they have their choice, and it's a personal choice they have to make. But man, I need to choose it and model it and example it and live it out every day of what God's doing in my life. Joshua says, remember that call to action and then remember your decision. Because if people made that decision in verse 16, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. And they went on in verse 17, all that God's done, they remembered the works of the Lord. And all that he did in verse 17, verse 18, Joshua said unto them then, don't serve and turn away. There will be consequences. Verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, there will be those consequences. Then at the end of verse 24, the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. Is that your commitment this morning? Then remember that tomorrow. It seems easy right now to remember it tomorrow, but tomorrow is going to be different. You're going to have friends and peers and other things that distract us and want to draw us away from God. The people said, we will obey his voice. So Joshua, verse 25, made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. He wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And verse 24, he says, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. There was a memorial. God did that great work. As the teens were challenged yesterday, maybe write it in the back of your Bible. So you can look back and say, God challenged me with this. Maybe you need to put it in another more visible area of your home, the area you know you struggle with the most, with whatever God has spoken and challenged you that you need to serve him in that area. Put it right there in front. It's not bad for others to see that God has challenged you to make a decision for him. It's not bad that our families know there's a difference we have to make. Joshua said, here's some big things to remember. Remember your decision. Other people will know about it. Other people knew this was a whole communal decision. We will serve God. And as a church family, our cry this morning is, we will serve God. But let's remember that then. As we go our own ways this afternoon. As we go our own ways this week. We will serve God. And set up reminders. Maybe encourage others. It's okay to reach out and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Again, maybe even some of those specific decisions, maybe you opened up or shared with another lady, hey, God really challenged me with this. And so challenge each other, keep each other accountable. Man, there's that important aspect of setting up memorials. Remember that. Other people should know. Outside reminders should keep you focused. They help to keep us focused. As Brother Jason Lewis said, he didn't get rid of any of those Bibles because, man, those were things God did. Those were mile markers in his spiritual life. So, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Right now it's easy to say, we will serve the Lord, isn't it? But tomorrow will you ask yourself, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Will I serve God? What do I need to put in my life as a reminder to challenge me?